Word of God. All right, we're going to finish up this series called Bulldog Faith. This is Bulldog Faith Part 4, and we're going to, the title of this, if you want a title, I titled this called Great Faith. It's called Great Faith. That's the title, Great Faith. And so I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 8, if you have your Bibles. If not, I am going to put them up here on the screen for you. And I'm going to lay a little bit of a foundation before we get into Matthew 8, and then a little bit later we'll see what God's Word says in Proverbs chapter 4. But the first scripture that I want to show you is in two scriptures, actually, in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, and Romans 12, verse 3. In verse 17 it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." Everybody say, faith to faith. Faith to faith. So basically what that means is that we can grow in our faith. You can grow from faith to faith. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." We live by faith and not by sight, is what the Word says. Then in Romans 12:3, this is written by the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Everybody say, measure of faith.
Measure of faith.
Okay, I've got to get it right. Every time I say the word measure, I hear my daughter's voice in the back of my mind. My daughter is all the time, she's all the time getting on to me for my redneck English, and I usually say, measure. Let's go measure it. She goes, measure? You know, are we in a field of maize, Dad? Or, you know, I'm like, no. So she says, Dad, it's measure. So measure of faith. Thank you, daughter. She's not even here, and I can still hear her. Measure of faith. So every one of us in here, you have a measure of faith. You cannot come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior without faith. And God has given every person on this planet that measure of faith so you can come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But as Romans 1 verse 17 says, we can go from faith to faith, so we can grow in our faith. We have to develop our faith. Even though you're given that measure of faith so that you can come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is and make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, you every day you've got to get into the Word of God and develop that measure of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Amen? All right, now I'm going to show you from the Word of God, there are levels of faith. I'm going to prove this to you from the Word. We're not going to go look up every one of these scriptures. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. I encourage you. I'm going to have to go kind of quickly to get through everything that I'm going to share with you today. So you can go back and listen to these messages on podcast at hfchurch.com. I even want to say that for the radio broadcast, because I have a lot of people that'll get with me and they'll say, "Hey, I didn't catch this or didn't catch that." Well, you can go to hfchurch.com. I want to thank God for Travis Bourne, because he's the one that uploads those on there. So you can go back and listen to the podcast on there, or even on Church's Aid as well. You can watch the live stream there on that website. But here's the levels of faith. Mark 9:19, Jesus said that we could actually have no faith. He looked at a generation, he said, "Oh, faithless generation." Luke 8, verse 25, he looked at his disciples and said, "Where is your faith?" So our faith can actually be misplaced.
Yes.
How many of you ever put faith in other things?
Yes.
I have. So we can misplace our faith sometimes. Matthew 14, verse 31, he said, "Little faith." It says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith.'" This was when Peter was sinking in the water. He was actually walking on water, and I'm like, man, that's great faith. And then he began to sink, and Jesus said, "Oh, you have little faith." So you can have little faith. So you can have no faith, you can have misplaced faith, or you can have little faith. Here's some more. Romans 4, verse 19 says, "And being not weak in faith," so we can have weak faith. How many of you ever had weak faith? I have. That's why we need each other as the body of Christ. Somebody may be strong in faith where you're weak in faith. You get together, they can strengthen your faith.
Yes.
And I'm praying that today that we can strengthen each other's faith. Romans 4:20 says, "Strong faith." And it's talking about Abraham here. The Apostle Paul says, "He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." So We can have weak faith or we can have strong faith, and I want to have strong faith.
Yes.
Now, we're going to learn something here that we can have great faith. Everybody say great faith. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture where Jesus actually got excited about a guy's faith one day. And it sort of made me think about, does Jesus get excited about my faith? I hope he does. But there's been some days like, Mark, you're not very exciting today.
Yeah.
you're not using your faith like I'd want you to. But in Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13, there's this story that's told when Jesus met a Roman centurion. And so, you know, this was a Gentile believer. He wasn't even a Jewish believer. He was Gentile like us. He was in the Roman army. He was a centurion, which means he was a leader over 100 men in the army. This guy was he was just an army dude. He knew about authority. He knew about being a man of your word. By the way, we need more of that today, amen? Being a person of your word. And so Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13, and we know that this centurion has heard about Jesus. He's probably been, heard him speak. He's probably heard him teach the word, all these kind of things. And it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. He says, Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, I love this about Jesus. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? It's like, you know, let's go. Let's go take care of it. And here's what the centurion replied. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. Everybody just say the word. And my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, I love this. This is verse 10. This was our Harvest Time Club scripture of the day. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, which was his disciples, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith.
Amen.
He said, this guy's not, he's just telling me to speak the word and it'll be done. Verse 11, he says, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And basically that scripture there was basically for us, because he was talking about this Roman centurion who was a Gentile. He said, this kind of faith right here is for everybody on the planet, for us. And he says, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? So that is what we call great faith. And I'm going to kind of break this down for you today and teach on this. But if I had to write my sermon in a sentence, it would be this. The highest form of faith is faith in God's word and its authority alone. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to say that again. The highest form of faith is faith in God's word and its authority alone. And I'm going to say it another way. I'm going to say this one twice. The highest form of faith is faith in God's word as evidence requiring no other proof to support it.
Amen.
The highest form of faith is faith in God's word as evidence requiring no other proof to support it. I just want to ask you, how exciting is your faith today? Because the lowest form of faith, according to the word of God, according to Jesus, the lowest form of faith, or no faith at all, in God's sight, is someone who demands a physical sign or manifestation before they will believe.
Amen.
Oh my gosh, how many times have I done that? You know, yeah. Lord, let the clouds come together and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Or let the stars line up and do another constellation and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And God's just saying, just trust me and walk by faith. John chapter 20, we all know this. A lot of us know this story about doubting Thomas. Thomas had to see and feel Jesus before he would believe. You guys are blessed today because we're believing in Jesus by faith.
Amen.
You've never seen him, never touched him, but we believe by faith. And one of these days, our faith's going to be made sight. Luke 1, verse 18, it talks about Zacharias, who was the daddy of John the Baptist. He needed a sign because all he could think about was his old age. God told him, you're going to have a son. He couldn't believe it because all he could see was his old age. It's all I can see, God. And God said, you're going to have a baby, John the Baptist. And God, if you know that story, God had to strike him dumb to shut his mouth so he wouldn't speak death over what God had already spoken. Some of us need to have that happen. I've been that way where, Lord, I just need to shut my mouth. Because sometimes we'll pray in faith and we'll talk faith, and then the next day we're talking defeat and woe unto me, and God's like, you just canceled out everything. I need to just shut you up. So sometimes we just need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, let the spirit of shut up come upon me after I've spoken faith. Oh, yeah. The centurion had faith in the living word of God, and he understood the power resident in the spoken word of God. And that is so powerful. And then here's the other thing that I'm going to look back at. That was in verse 8. In verse 8 there, he said, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come underneath my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Then in verse 9, this is something about the centurion that he had also. He had a revelation of the authority of God. He said, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one to go and he goes, and that one come and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. So he had a revelation of authority. As a man of authority, he commanded his soldiers to come, go, and do. And as a man under authority, he responded to his superiors in the same way by coming, going, and doing himself. And the centurion recognized that the disease was subject to what Jesus said as much as his men were subject to what he said. Isn't that powerful? So, Lord, that's why he said, Lord, you say the word, and my servant will be healed. And he understood the concept of faith, and that's why Jesus said, I hadn't seen faith like this in all of Israel. This is great faith. And that's the verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Jesus was marveled. And this is what that word, this scripture, when you study it out, he was marveled, he was stirred, he was impressed, and he was excited at the centurion's faith. And so that's why I asked you earlier, does your faith excite Jesus? Ask somebody that next to you, does your faith excite Jesus? Because he wants that for you. He wants you to have that great faith. And so Jesus even turned around, he made mention of it to everyone that were there, including his disciples. And here's something else I want you to notice that I had, you know, I've read this story a whole bunch, and as I was studying it, something jumped out at me, and that's why I said that during our prayer time today. The centurion was also using his faith for someone else. Absolutely. He was using his faith for someone else. He walked in the compassion of the Lord. When Jesus was here, and see, a lot of us are selfish with our faith. It's all about us. It's all about us. It's all about our needs, all about what we want, we want, we want. How about flipping the script, so to speak, and use your faith on somebody else to help somebody else?
Yes.
And so that'd be giving your faith. And then you'll be fulfilling a scripture that says love makes faith work at its highest level.
Yes.
Love makes faith work at its highest level. Faith works for the person on the giving end. And so that was that great faith that Jesus said, and that word, great faith in the Greek means enormous, so vast, so large, and so long. And when you read verse 11 up there, in the Message Bible, I like what the Message Bible says in verse 11. It says, this man is the vanguard of many outsiders who will soon be coming from all directions. And a vanguard means a position at the forefront of new developments or ideas, a spearhead, or a cutting edge. He said, this is the faith that's going to be released in all of the earth so that people can come into my kingdom and receive his kingdom on the earth. So, and then verse 13, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, and it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour, at that very moment when he believed and had that faith. Now, I want to give you something today, and we're And I know it's going to sound like we're going to be here for a long time, but we're going to get through this because I want to give you seven things, all right? I want you to write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I'm going to give you seven things today to develop great faith. How to develop great faith. Because I'm a teacher at heart. I want to learn what this centurion understood. He understood about the power of the spoken word, and he understood about being underneath authority. Those are two big things. Those are two big things. The power of the spoken word and being underneath authority. The authorities that are placed in your lives were placed there by God, whether you're your parents, a coach, a teacher, whatever. And sometimes they don't do like what you want them to do. Yes. And so then the test is, will you still submit to that authority? Yes. Amen. And, you know, there. And I'll just make this kind of real. There's a lot of times where I think I know better than God what he ought to do. Is anybody else like that? And then I'm just like, then I got to submit to his authority. Because then he doesn't show up and then I'm like, I got to keep still submitting. And I don't even know where you're at. I don't even know what you're doing, you know. And that's the test right there. But I want to teach you today, and I'm teaching myself, how to develop great faith. And here is number one, the first one. Receive Jesus as a developer of your faith. And I know everybody's like going, dirty dir. Yeah, he is the developer of your faith. And this is Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is, I love how the NIV says, it says, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The New King James Version, if you have that, it says, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is our faith trainer. Everybody said amen. Amen. Jesus is your faith trainer. And we can go from faith to faith to faith and grow in faith. Your faith, the best analogy I can give you, your faith is like a muscle. And if you use it, it's going to grow. It's going to get stronger. If you don't use it, it's going to get flabby and soft. Amen. But you got to use your faith, and Jesus is our faith trainer. I'll never forget the mind is a powerful thing, guys, the mind, and getting in agreement with God's word. I was working out here a while back, and I started working out. I was like, I'm going to get in shape, and I'm just going to go work out, do some cardio, do some weightlifting. I go to a gym in Elk City that everybody there were power lifters. And so the testosterone, if you've never been around powerlifting dudes and ladies, the testosterone gets to flowing. And so I get in there and I'm thinking, I'm a pretty strong guy. I think I can lift just as much as they can. And so here, you know, instead of just going and working out and doing some cardio and lifting weights, I get full-fledged in powerlifting, you know. And I even went to, I did, I went to even went to a couple of meets and actually did fairly decent. But I was lifting weights, and I was lifting weights with a couple guys that were half my age, and very strong, and they were teaching me, you know, the proper technique on, you know, there's the deadlift, the squat, and the bench. And so one day we were doing the deadlifts, and, you know, we may do 100 reps during that day, you know, doing five at a time or whatever. And your body, the best way I can describe it, your body has to get conditioned to heavy weights, you know. And you got to feel it. You got to feel what that weight feels like and lift it. And so I was lifting with these guys, and they was like, Mark, you know, you're strong for your age. And I said, well, thank you, you know. And but because they were in their 20s, and I'm in my 40s, and hanging on to my 40s, just turned 49, hanging on, 49 and holding. And anyway, to make a long story short, I got to a point where I was lifting, and I'd get up to 400 pounds, and I could not deadlift that. And I'm like, I should be able to do 400 pounds. I'm a big guy. I should be. And I know that sounds like a lot of weight. And these guys were doing way more than that. But the guy that I was working out with, his name's Devin Weaver, if he's listening to this on the radio, he said, Mark, the deal is you can do it. You've just got a mental block with that number 400 in your mind. It's just, And I was like, yeah, Devin, here's the problem is when I squat over and I feel that, I feel like my spine is going to come out my back when I try to when I try to lift that. And he goes, well, it's not because you got that belt on. He goes, I promise you can do it if you'll just get that mental, get it out of your mind that you can't do it because you can do it. And lo and behold, there was one day when I finally just grabbed it and I did it, 400 pounds, and I was proud of myself. But it showed me that, you know, the connection, and I'm going to spiritualize this, your mind gets in with your faith, and you've got way more potential in God than you realize.
Yes.
Way more potential. And later on, I did a meet where I did a 400, and the most I ever did on deadlift was 465 pounds, and I wasn't even straining at it, and I think I could have done more. I think I could have done 500, but that's, see, but that's faith talking right there. That's faith talking, because I used to say I couldn't do 400, and now I'm like, I can do 500 now, but not now, because I quit doing it because my body was hurting very badly. I just need to walk is what I need to do, but Jesus is our faith trainer. For instance, there's several scriptures. I'm just going to give you a few of them. If you're needing healing, you need to stand on 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. If you're needing needs met, whatever kind of needs they are, you need to stand on Philippians 4:19, that God meets all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Romans 13:8 says talks about debt. If you're needing debt freedom, you need to stand on Romans 13:8. And so you got to find the scripture that pertains to what you're going through and stand on that word and declare it over your situation. All right, here's number two. Number two, give the word of God first place and make it final authority. And this is Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. Most of you in here are going dirty-dur, I know this, but knowing it and doing it are two different things. We've got to know it and do it. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22 says, my son, pay attention to what I say, turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. So what you got to ask yourself is, what does God's word say about my situation? And then you've got to make it the final word, even, listen to this, even after all human reports are in. Even after all human reports are in, God's word is still the final authority. I love what I read a quote by one pastor, and he said, I just finally made it a point in my life, if I got up in the morning and I didn't get in the word, then I didn't get to eat breakfast. And so he was like, no word, no breakfast. So he said, guess what? I eat the word every morning so I can have breakfast. And I thought that was pretty good. I even wrote that down. I was like, I'm going to adopt that. No word, no breakfast. All right, here's number three. Continually feed on the word of God. Continually feed on the word of God. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of God, and I cannot, as your pastor, I'm saying this to myself too, and I cannot stress this enough. The word of God is faith food for your spirit. The word of God is faith food for your spirit. I love this quote, and I'm going to say it a couple of times. If, and I should have wrote it down on the screen up here, if your mouth will feed your heart faith when you don't need it, then your heart will feed your mouth faith when you do need it.
Amen.
I thought that was really good. I'm going to read that again. If your mouth will feed your heart faith when you don't need it, then your heart will feed your mouth faith when you do need it.
Amen.
And so that's why you got to be daily in the Word of God. Is everybody learning something?
Yes.
Okay, just a few more. Here's number four. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. And this is Joshua 1, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I can't stress this enough. It is a God-given process that produces a permanent change in your thinking when you meditate on the Word of God. It's a God-given process that produces a permanent change in your thinking when you meditate on the Word of God. And here's what I want to tell you. Because the Word that you meditate on will become the reality that you desire.
Amen.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to do a teaching on this probably in something I'm studying right now that has just really rocked my world is we all have patterns that's in our lives. And I'm going to entitle this Interrupt the Pattern. You have patterns that are going on in your life, good and bad. And if you're going to interrupt a pattern, this is what you have to realize. And I'm not going to, because I could go off on a whole other vein here. But what you have to realize is this. If you're going to interrupt a pattern that's going on in your life, you're going to have... If you're going to interrupt a pattern that's in your life, what you're going to have to do is meditate on the Word of God. Amen? You're going to have to. And it breaks my heart to look out here because I see a lot of patterns in here. And as I've been studying this, I see a whole lot of patterns in my life and that go back plumb to childhood. And the only way that you're going to break that pattern is meditating on the Word of God. Life doesn't happen to you. Get this. A lot of you have bought the lie that life's happening to me. Life's just happening to me. Life's not happening to you. You're creating the life around you. Yes. And that's by faith. You're doing that. And so that's where these patterns are coming in. And it's belief systems that you've developed since you was in childhood, all the way up your environment, your childhood that you, and that's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12 that we've got to constantly renew our mind according to the Word of God. And really, whenever you start seeing the patterns in your life, because, man, we're good, and the enemy, and we don't think we do it, but we're good at blaming others, you know, but when you step back and say, I'm going to quit interrupting these patterns in my life, and you say, God, help me to get out of my situation and look at me for just a second, then what you start doing is what is called, you start taking self-responsibility. Yes. And saying, I own up to this. It may have been something done to you years ago, but you're taking responsibility for it and saying, you know what? We're stopping this pattern right now in the name of Jesus, and from now on, we're blessing generations Amen. Down from it. We're stopping this pattern. How many of you ready to just interrupt some patterns? Amen. And so I've been interrupting patterns, and I'm still interrupting patterns. As you grow in your relationship with God, He'll start revealing to you these patterns that are going on, and then it's up to you, self-responsibility, when He exposes your... Because when you meditate on the Word of God, guess who... I've always wanted to meditate on the Word of God and have it expose Jada to me. And it never does that. I can't ever go to Jada and say, you know what, I saw you in the Word of God and you're just not doing it today. But every time I go into the Word of God, it exposes myself to myself. Yes. I want to blame it on her. And I've tried several times. And God said, that ain't happening, buddy. It's you. The Word is a mirror to you. We're going to see that here in just a second. And then the self-responsibility is this right here. Number five is you've got to act on the Word of God. Once that happens, you have to act on it. After you meditate on it, then you have to act on it. Whatever God tells you to do, then you do it. James 1, verses 22 through 25, it says, do not merely listen to the Word. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do it what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So you got to act on it. You have to act on the Word of God and act as if it is absolutely true because it is. It's absolutely true. I did something today, something Jade and I were up here praying this morning as we were taking communion, and this is a scripture that God reminds me of often as a husband, and it's the scriptures in 1 Peter where it talks about how you treat your wife is whether your prayers are going to be hindered or not. And so, I mean, and God knows how you treat your spouse, your attitude, your shortness. Oh, is anybody listening today? Everybody's like, you ain't talk. I can see everybody's out there going, you're not talking about me. You know, I'm holier than you are, Pastor. And I'm telling you, God, that is one scripture that God gets on to me quite a bit with, you know. And he's not getting on to me. It's a discipline because he disciplines those that he loves. And so he says, Mark, you know, buddy, your prayers aren't getting past the ceiling fan today because the way you're acting at home with your spouse, and you need to stop it. And so, you know, you're declaring all these things by faith, but you need to take care of her. Take care of her. I've heard that a lot from God. Take care of her. You know, before I can be a pastor to people, I got to take care of things at home. Amen. Got to have there's order, and the authority and all that, you know, is very important. So you have to, when you see it in the Word, then you have to do it. And I'm telling off on myself today, because that's one thing. When I was reading the Word one day, I saw that in the Word, and I was like, man, I want to be a man of prayer. I want God to hear my prayers. I want God to answer my prayers. And then I saw that scripture, and he says, a lot of it, Mark, depends on how you treat your spouse, if your prayers are going to be hindered or not. I was like, wow. So here's the deal, that I made a vow a long time ago with God, that before I ever get up here to teach God's Word on a Sunday or any other night, I make sure everything's good on the home front. I don't come to church ticked off. Some of you are in here going, oh my gosh, we came ticked off today. You know, I may have got up that way and we may have had a little spat at the house or whatever, but before we get to church, we're going to make sure everything's okay. You may have to do it out in the parking lot. You may have to do it even during praise and worship, you know, but make sure. And it just helps you to live better. Amen? It really does. And Jada's got a real good one. You know, when she was reading the Word of God one time, I'm going to tell your story, something that God spoke to her, and this is out of Ephesians, is don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
That's right.
So there's been many a nights where I wanted to roll over and turn my back towards her, and she would tap me on the shoulder, and she'd say, sun going down, sun going down. It's like, I don't want to kiss and make up. I'm sorry. You know? But she, you know, and she's using the Word against me. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So it helps. The Word of God is powerful, and it helps. And that's why God wants us to do it. All right, here's number 6. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And this is Jude 1, verse 20. It says, be you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. What praying in the Spirit does, it charges your faith like a battery. It's like a faith boost. And what I can tell you is whenever you sense your faith is in a weakened condition, just spend some time praying in the Spirit to build yourself up in your faith. And there's a scripture, and I want you to write this down. I don't have time to teach on all this. We're going to do a series here before too long about the God I never knew. And it's a teaching by Pastor Robert Morse where he teaches about the Holy Spirit. It's one of the best teachings I've ever heard on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do that here at church on a Sunday morning. But 1 Corinthians 14:4, write that scripture down. It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Now, we around here, there's something that we do believe in. We believe in salvation. We believe in all, and we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Read the book of Acts. Read 1 Corinthians 12:13-14. But praying in the Spirit charges your faith like a battery, a faith boost. And I'm going to tell you that I don't do it up here in front of people on a public Sunday morning. This is my private prayer time with God in me. I grew up in a Baptist church. Then later in life, Jay and I started attending Assembly of God Church. So I've been to Baptist. I've been to Pentecostal. That's why Amy Downey, a girl that I graduated with, she calls me a Baptocostal. because I love, and what God began to teach me as I was growing in my faith was, Mark, I want a balance of the Word and a balance of my spirit, and I want them to come together, you know. Because if you have all Word and no Spirit, you dry up, and if you have all Spirit and no Word, you blow up. And I've been in some services where people were blowing up. I'm talking doing some crazy stuff and scaring everybody. And it's like, if you'll read 1 Corinthians, and Kent knows what I'm talking about. If you read 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians is a book by the Apostle Paul telling a church that's very Pentecostal, you guys need to calm down because you're not witnessing to anybody. I gave you the Holy Spirit to be a witness, not to be a freak show or a dog and pony show and all that. I'm going to share a story here because we went out and ate dinner this past week with a couple. They're not here today that attend our church. And we went out and ate with them, and they were just bragging on, we just love Harvest Fellowship Church. We love, when we come in there, we feel at home. We feel the Holy Spirit and all those things, and it was just a blessing to hear all that. And that was one of the things that the husband was talking about. He said, man, you just, they didn't ever say it, but it was coming out of everything, all the stories they were sharing. They just said, you've got a balance of the Word and a balance of the Holy Spirit there. And that really blessed me. But I shared a story with this husband that what happened to me early in my ministry was I got to sit under a guy that was teaching, and he was a Pentecostal pastor. He'd been a Pentecostal pastor in New Mexico. And he was saying, guys, I could have church with the best of them. He goes, I loved running around the church and on a Sunday morning. And he said, but after 10 years of doing that as a pastor, and we still had the same 150 people, he said, I finally had to ask God what's going on. And God told him, said, well, that's not why I gave you the Holy Spirit so you can run around the church on a Sunday morning. I gave you the Holy Spirit so you can be a witness. Yes. And minister to people. And he was like, okay. He said, well, God, what do I do? And he said, well, I want you to start interviewing people that guest. When I send you guests to your church, I want you to interview them. He said, okay. So they've been like this for 10 years, church of 150, not reaching anybody. And they're in a big metropolitan area. I mean, they could reach a whole lot more people than that. And so this pastor said, okay, God. He humbled himself. He's like, he said, we had a lot of people leave the church because it wasn't church like they wanted it to be, but we wanted to reach people with the gospel, not everybody come in here and do their own thing. And so this pastor said, you know, he told some of his leadership, what I'm going to start doing is interviewing guests when they come in. And so they lived in a military area, military base, and so they had a lot of, several guests would come sometimes, and there was a guest that came, a young couple in the military, and then they left. They never did come back, and so he went and interviewed them at their house, and he come in and he talked to the man. This is when he's trying to turn everything in their church, you know, because because this church had been like that for 10, or ever since it was started. It was a Pentecostal church, and he went and talked to this man, and he said, sir, he goes, I'm the pastor. He goes, yeah, I remember you, you know, the day that we were there. He goes, I just want to know why you haven't came back, because you know I'm trying to be a better pastor, and we want to be a better church and reach our community for Jesus and all that. And this military guy was very honest with the pastor, and he said, well, sir, he goes, when we were there, he said there was a lady a couple of rows up ahead of us that got up and started speaking some kind of language I'd never heard before, and she was yelling and screaming it. And he goes, and I was looking around, is like, somebody going to take care of this lady? She is going crazy here in church. And he said, I'll be honest with you, Pastor, it scared the living hell out of me because I don't know about all that stuff. And that's exactly what he said. And he said, so I told my wife when we left there, this is not a place where I want you or our kids to go to. And he said, this pastor went outside, and he said, I'll never forget this because he was teaching this to a bunch of pastors. He said, I went outside, and I put my head in my steering wheel, and I just wept. That we had used the Holy Spirit in a wrong way. That's not what the Holy Spirit is for. And he said, and I wept, and I said, I told our leadership about it. And I said, we want the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts. We believe in everything of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to do this right, like the Apostle Paul was trying to teach the Corinthian church. And we're going to start reaching people. And now this church has turned the ship, so to speak, around. And they're reaching over 2,000 people in their community. That's how much their church has grown since they did it right, according to the Word of God. And so that's what we try to do here, by the way. Amen? Amen. That's what we try to do here. And I do have, there's a time, I did it this morning before I ever got up here to teach and preach, but it's something between me and God. It's my private prayer time. Yes. And I know that there's a gift. Here's the teacher in me. There's a gift of it, but we're going to talk about that at a later time, okay? Because there in 1 Corinthians it talks about that. But here's number seven. Everybody ready for number seven?
Yes.
Number seven is continually give God praise. Continually give God praise. And this is easier said than done. You know, it's up here, I'm giving these 7 points and going right through them. And, you know, when you're having one of those down days, that's when you got to bring the sacrifice of praise is what the Bible talks about. But Psalms 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so if you want to enlarge your faith, then cultivate a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving. I encourage you when you're in your vehicle, young people, when you're in your vehicle, turn it on the radio and Christian radio and praise and worship the Lord. Yes. Amen. Now, if you're going on a long drive sometimes, there's sometimes I've got to turn it over to the 80s station. You're hearing it from your pastor. I grew up in the 80s, so sometimes I got to have some 80s rock and roll too, you know. But listen to praise and worship music.
Yes.
Feed your spirit the right things. Because praise and thanksgiving carries the ball down the field, all right? Now, every one of you should have this in your bulletin. I put them in there every Sunday.
Yes.
And please, if you already have one, give it to some family member. But these are 25 faith essentials every believer needs to know with the scripture references. You can read these every day, declare them over your life, declare the deal out loud at the bottom. But that's the reason why I've been putting those in the bulletin every Sunday. Has everybody learned something?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to use your bulldog faith?
Yes.
Okay. I want to lead you in a confession. Can I do that?
Yes.
We did this, I think, in the first part one, but I want to lead you in this confession called my bulldog faith confession. So I want you to repeat this after me. I make a quality... let's start all over. I make a quality decision...
to live by bulldog faith.
I take hold
of every faith project.
I receive them all completed
ahead of schedule.
I refuse to quit.
I refuse to let
go. I refuse to give up.
I have fully persuaded faith.
My faith is aggressive.
My faith is persistent,
and my faith is determined.
What God has promised,
He is able to perform.
I see it,
I take it,
and I have it.
And this is the victory
that conquers the world,
even my bulldog faith.
Do you believe it?
Stacy, I believe, she came up here this morning. I'm going to pick on you since you're here visiting all the way from Lake Texoma. She came up here because I'm declaring this, because if there's somebody listening by radio, if there's somebody watching by Church's Aid, she is believing for a man of God to come into her life.
Amen.
Now, you got to be single, okay? That's the got to put some parameters on this whole thing, boundaries. But she came up here and she said, Mark and Jada, I want you to agree with me by faith that I want, Jada said, Mark, she wants her Boaz, if you know that scripture, the story. And so we're believing with you. He is going to come into your life soon in Jesus' name. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to make sure, we always do this every Sunday before everybody leaves. And those that are watching by Church's Aid, and there'll be people watching or listening to this by radio, want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I want you to, this is what we call the prayer of salvation, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life.
I believe you are the Son of God,
and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, Amen. If that's the first time that you've prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God. It's not about joining any church or anything like that, but your very next step that you need to do is to get water baptized, and we can do that next Sunday, okay? And so if you maybe I had to get baptized twice for it to take is what I say, because I was baptized when I was little, and then as when I got older. And if you feel like you need to do that again, I encourage you, if the Holy Spirit's speaking that to you, to do it again, okay? And we can do that next Sunday. And if you'd like to do that, just get with me. All right, I want everybody to stand up. And another thing that we always do here at Harvest Fellowship Church is I like to speak a blessing over you before you leave. And babe, will you come up here with me? And so that my blessing is not hindered. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We love you guys. We're going to come back here in the back and see you before you have to go, though.
$1 billion. The question is...